Church, we had an amazing week at soccer camp, and before we send these kids out and we bless them and we do the offering, what I want to do, and so I'm going to ask just a couple of questions, and if you have an answer, don't shout it all at once, just put your hand up, and I'm going to bring this mic to you, and we're going to hear. What was the best thing at soccer camp this last week? Anybody have an answer? Okay, over here. Sophia, what was the best thing?
The fire truck.
Yes. On Wednesday, we had the Seashell Fire Department come and they set up this fire truck and they sent the ladder out and they connected the hose to the fire hydrant. And it looks like this little stream, but if you're under there for half a second, you are drenched. So that's a good one. Who else has a favorite thing from this last week? Anybody? Oh, I'm going to go all the way back here. What was your favorite thing?
Playing soccer.
We played soccer at soccer camp. It was awesome. Who else?
Games.
Which games specifically?
The castle games.
Castles. Okay. Now, castles is a game where there's two teams on either side, and the goal is to get as many balls into your castle. And you get to go and steal balls from the other castle and bring them back. So there's lots of attacking and defending. What else?
Blob tag
was also a favorite. Anybody else?
Fun Friday, because you get to do obstacles and the fun games.
Excellent. Okay. Now, here's a question for you guys. Now, I'm going to tell all of these grown-ups here while you guys are in Sunday school about some of the things that you guys talked about in Coach's Corner. Do you remember any of those things from Coach's Corner? Do you remember any of the things that we talked about there? Anything? What? You got one?
Passing
the
ball.
Okay, now passing was part of the other thing. Do you remember when you went and talked with your coaches and they did all the big Bible talk and there was one?
Yeah.
Yeah, do you remember that? What was one of the things that you talked about?
The perseverance.
Well done. Okay, perseverance was in there. Poppy.
Grace.
Grace was another one that was in there this last week. Anybody else? Evie, were you at soccer camp?
No, I was riding a horsey.
She was riding a horsey. She's not quite old enough for soccer camp, but maybe there's a jockey's up game in soccer camp. Okay, now, what do you remember?
God.
Yeah, we spent a lot of time talking about God. And I think that... Exactly. That's one of the things that we want to do today is we want to spend some time opening the doorway into what we do at soccer camp, because the goal is to be missional and to engage our community. And so I'm really excited to do that. You guys are awesome. Okay, I'm going to pray for you, and then we're going to send you guys to Children's Church, and I'm going to invite the ushers forward if you want to come up here. Now, Father, we just thank you, Lord. We thank you for all of these kids, and we thank you for all the other kids that were at soccer camp this week. And Lord, we pray that seeds which were planted this last week will grow, that they will grow into amazing fruit, kingdom fruit, where lives will be changed, lives will be transformed. And so we bless these kids in your name, Jesus, and we send them. We also commit our offering to you. We give you thanks, Lord, for all that you have given us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, kiddos, nice work, you guys. All right, parents and family and friends, let's just give these kids a little round of applause. Let's send them out. All right, you guys have a great Sunday school. I've never been caught in this stampede here before. Here I am. All right, church. How's everybody doing this morning? Good? Oh, I am excited for today. Now, do we have our volunteer coaches here? There's Coach Eli. Eli, why don't you come up? Is Coach Peyton here? Coach Peyton went up to Sunday school. And I think Coach Jocelyn just did as well. Coach Eli, come on over here. Is Eli McMurtry here? He's gone. That's right. He's gone on a plane. I knew that. All right. So, Coach Eli. This is my son, Elijah. Now, we bumped Elijah up a little bit early this year because we were short. Our junior coaches, like we never have been this year. Everybody who had been there in all the years past, they grew up. They had to get jobs. They had to go work. And so all of a sudden we had Coach Elijah, and we decided to promote him, and we are glad that we did. Eli was there as one of our youth coaches, and Eli McMurtry and Peyton Lavery was also there, as well as Jocelyn, who was playing the keys and singing this morning, was also there. And Elijah, I want you to share just one funny highlight. What was one funny thing that happened during the camp this year that you loved? And you have to hold that right up to your mouth, and you have to look that way.
I think just watching the kids and seeing them learn about God and seeing them play soccer is really fun. Just seeing them reminds me of how God created them just to be how they are.
Yeah. Yeah, wow. Now, Elijah had a specific role that he carried throughout the work. Your role was that of the?
Narrator.
And so every day, you heard about a bunch of the games. Every morning looks something like this. The kids will arrive there, and we'll do a bit of a warm-up and some skill work. And then we'll do a larger group game with the kids. And then we come back into Coach's Corner. And Coach's Corner, help me out with all the parts that are happening at the front, Elijah. What happens at the front there? Do you remember? So there's a theme, right?
Yep.
So there's a theme, and we're going to go through the theme. First theme of the week, the first day was?
Identity.
Identity. Identity was the first theme of the week. And then what happens is the coaches will role play something specific in soccer. The first day about identity, they emphasize that, or they do this little skit where they run around up front and they capture the kids' attention, right? And they demonstrate this player who has a chance to score the winning goal, and he misses the winning goal. Sort of like, I'm sorry, England, we're so close. I'm sorry. Like England yesterday. And if you know what's going on in the game today, some of us are recording it. Don't say anything, please. The idea is, hey, play, but your identity is not made up in whether you score or don't score. Right? And then what happens is it moves back into this story that captures something from Scripture. Now, I'll unpack that in a second. But Elijah, is there any... Tell us about a spiritual conversation that you had with one of the kids. Don't say their name, but just tell us about one of the conversations that you had with one of the kids this year. I'm putting Elijah on the spot here. Yes. I didn't prep him for this. I just pulled him right up.
One of them asked me in Adam and Eve why God would create the forbidden tree of fruit. And it totally stumped me, and I didn't know what to say. And I kept on thinking, and all these kids were bringing up these crazy suggestions, and it was really nice to see them doing that.
Yeah, amazing. So we've got kids that are hungry. Right, kids that are asking questions. And when our junior coaches wouldn't have the answers, they would say, okay, go to one of the senior coaches and go and chat with them. And so one of the reasons that God created all that is we know that God has given us choice. Right? That one of the most significant things about God's love for us is that he doesn't force us. He doesn't take us and beat us over the head and say, listen and do what I tell you, or else. He says, you can choose full life or not. Now, Coach Jocelyn, can I get you to come up here? Great job, Elijah. Coach Elijah. Now, just stay up here. Don't go down. We're going to get Coach Jocelyn here. And again, unscripted, but I'm going to... Okay, so Coach Jocelyn, her soccer career prior to this week was not a lot. Is that fair to say? Was not a lot. Okay. So tell us just a little bit how you're feeling going into soccer camp.
I felt like when I found out that they needed volunteers, I felt God say, you should volunteer for soccer camp and just get back and...
Hold it right here.
I was like, I don't know anything about soccer. I played volleyball and basketball and rugby and not soccer at all. So I don't even know how many kids are supposed to be on the field, really. So I was really nervous, and it's usually also, it's usually when I get a break from Poppy and Lucy because they go to soccer camp. So I was like, oh, to sign up, those are long days with them. So I was feeling really nervous about being overtired and exhausted, and I was feeling really nervous because I didn't know at all any soccer skills at all. So, yeah.
But you keep that mic. But you came and you did it, and
I had a blast. It was awesome. Yeah. Now, it was so fun.
Here's just a little word of encouragement. You may feel ill-equipped when you hear about a need or when God calls you to do something. But if you're faithful to the call, He will give you what you need for that role. Do you agree? Right? And so we've got a lot of ministries, a lot of things going on where we need to all engage. We're actually one body together. We're one body. We have different roles, different functions. And if you've never done something before, don't be discouraged. Don't let that stop you. Okay? Now, Coach Jocelyn. Tell us about one of the spiritual conversations that you had with one of the kids. Don't give us their names, but just give us one of the spiritual, kind of one of the more significant conversations that you had.
Like the highlight?
Sure. Yeah, something significant, a highlight.
Okay. I had a little girl who told me she wanted to have God live in her heart. And so it was just really beautiful how she came up to me, and she really wanted it. She's like, I don't know if she had seen it before, but she was like, can you just say it and I'll just say it after you? So we did that prayer, and we just spent time in the grass, and I taught her just to listen for God's voice, and that you can do that anytime, anywhere, when you're feeling sad or when you're feeling happy. You can just be talking to God through your day, and that He'll say wonderful, loving things to you always. And it was just, she heard from Him and told me that he said, He loves me very much. Like, you could just see it in her eyes that she...
Wow.
I'd heard it, so it was really beautiful.
Well, okay, so sometimes we need to be primed to celebrate, but that's a life that got transformed by the love and presence of Jesus. Let's celebrate. That's amazing. Thank you, Lord. Beautiful, beautiful. Okay, thank you, coaches. You were awesome. We couldn't have done it without you. Next year, we will have more opportunities. Great job, you guys. Great job. Wow. See, I actually didn't even know that from Jocelyn, because what we're doing is we're still hearing the stories of what's happened, what's transpired. Church, we had 90 kids out at soccer camp. There was 90 kids that were out at soccer camp. Now, normally our church, we're more than 90. Today, we look like we may have had more kids at soccer camp than are here this morning. Now it's summer, and that's okay. But here's the thing. Those 90 kids, by far the majority were kids that don't go to church regularly on a Sunday. They were by far the majority of kids that heard about the soccer camp that the church was holding, and parents decided to take advantage of it. Now, do parents sometimes ask us, like, what do you guys do at the soccer camp? Is there any weird religious stuff that you do? Kelly can verify that, because often she'll get the questions in the office. And we're right up front. We say, absolutely, we do. We talk about stories from the Bible, and we talk about Jesus, and we talk about these principles and how they apply into your kids' lives. And there's been a few, I believe, where the parents have said, well, I don't think so. But the majority, obviously, send their kids. And the reason that we do soccer camp, it isn't to put a fun camp on for our church kids. It's not to put a fun camp on for the various churches in the community. Really, our goal with soccer camp is to be missional. It is to take the life of Jesus and give these kids the choice and the opportunity and the time to choose Jesus. Now, I turned my life over to Jesus. I received Jesus when I was a child, and I still look back at that day as a life-altering event. And Jocelyn got to pray with a girl. I got to pray with a child this week to receive Jesus. And I know that some of our other coaches did as well. What an amazing opportunity. And so, yes, obviously there's games and there's these things that happen and there's competition, and it is based around soccer, but soccer is just the avenue, the cultural avenue that we use to present Jesus to these kids. Now, what I want to do is just really briefly walk through, and I want you to hear some of these truths that these kids are hearing. Now, pause for a second and just think back that the majority of 90 kids are kids that aren't always hearing the truth. Right? They're in a world that is telling them different things. Some of them are in educational systems that are telling them different things. Some of our Christian teachers are limited in what they can actually teach as truth to our kids. And I affirm that teaching call as a significant missional vocation. Please don't hear me negating that. It is absolutely essential that we have our people there. But these kids, for a week straight, have the opportunity to have the truth of God poured into them. Amazing, right? Amazing. Now, day one, we talked about identity. Identity was what we pushed into on day one. And so I told you about the soccer skit where it's this player that misses the goal and says, hey, your identity isn't whether you score or not. How many of us need to hear that? Your identity is not whether you are the best at your job. Your identity is not in whether you failed at this or whether you succeeded in that. Your identity is as a child of God. That is the only place that you can start. And if you're not starting there, your foundation is flawed. And you'll see flaws as you build on it. It will tip. It will turn. Now, do you mind closing that door there? I'm just getting a glare right off of... Or a guy. Thanks. Thanks, guys. Sweet. Now, what happens next is a scripture is read. And Sam, if you want to put the first scripture up there, you're going to see that all these say ICB, which is the International Children's Bible. International Children's Bible. And what I want you to do is I want you to read this with me. Are you ready? 3, 2, 1. And before the world was made, God decided to make us his own children through Jesus Christ. That's it. That's our framework. That's our starting place. Now, I'm just going to mention this really briefly, that International Children's Bible, if you use the tool Bible Gateway, you can have access to all of it. If you're ever struggling with a translation, and I actually just discovered this this past week, there's some beautiful work that has gone into this, and that touched my heart as a pastor who's been through seminary. And so I would encourage you, if you're trying to figure out what's going on with this, go to the International Children's Bible and see that. Okay? Before the world was made, God decided to make us his own children. Now, the Bible sketch that they acted out started with Adam and Eve. It started with their choice to sneak off and eat the fruit. It went to Noah and how they built the ark and how the rain came and the floods came. But Noah was saved and God made this covenant with them. And the final concluding ideas were this, and you can go to the next slide there, Sam, is that our identity is that of Jesus. Jesus is God. He's one of the three persons of the Trinity. This is actually from the notes. This is what these kids are hearing. Now, are they able to take all of it in? Some of them, yes, absolutely. Some of them, maybe not. But we're talking about this truth that's being poured into them. He's fully God, equal in standing with God the Father and the Holy Spirit. And Jesus is our Savior. Now, this is the starting point for the week. Our identity is rooted in Jesus. We can be called God's kids because of Jesus. And our identity in Jesus means that we are loved by Him. And the last is what I've mentioned. Our identity is not based on our performance. And what this means is, in a world where our identity is based on our performance, it's based on how you look. It's based on grades that you've gotten at some point. It's based on the last project that you worked on, we can separate ourselves and come fully into that place of trust, of truth, where our identity is based on Jesus. Where in Jesus we are fully brought into the love and presence of God. Now, it doesn't mean that we don't have to care about anything that we do, right? Because once we're transformed, then out of our identity, we live. But too many of us, too often, and I throw myself in that, too often we pull back that false identity. And so all the kids go into these small groups where they can ask questions or where they can dig in and process this more. And what's interesting was the Athletes in Action soccer coaches, who are four coaches that the organization Power to Change sends to churches. They were talking about the difference with the kids here is that there was a thirst. There was a desire to know more. There was a longing to engage in the conversations, which I was excited about, right? Now, I don't know if all the parents would agree with this, but the spiritual elements in the conversations in our house this last week increased significantly. My kids were coming up with things I believe moved and inspired by God's Spirit that weren't even part of the lessons or processing, but it was God at work in their lives. And it was beautiful. It was beautiful to hear. It was beautiful to see. Now, the day two was grace. Day two was grace. And what happens is a soccer player makes a failed attempt at something, and the coach is being interviewed in front of everybody, and the coach just pours and lavishes this grace on the player. And just talks about, hey, everybody makes mistakes. Hey, of course we'll give him a chance again. Grace, grace, grace. And the scripture that was presented is Colossians 3, verse 13. And I'm going to invite you to read this out loud with me. We got that sound? Beautiful. Here we go. On 3, 2, 1. Forgive each other because the Lord forgave you. That's grace, isn't it? That concept of forgiveness is so essential. And let me tell you, we practiced it and put it into play during the week. It's a soccer camp. These kids are running around. There are balls that are flying into faces. There are kids with some diagnosed behavioral issues that are having behaviors, stuff going on. And what a gift it was to have them at our camp. Right? I heard from one mom who hadn't been able to send her kid to anything where he could stay, and he made it through the whole week. And did we know about it? Did we have to engage with him? Absolutely. But what an opportunity, not only to take care of the child and the children, but to engage in the family, right? Wow. So good. And so kids are hitting, and so we're saying, okay, it's wrong, and we're addressing it, and he has a consequence. Can you forgive him? No, I don't want to. Okay, remember what we talked about. Remember this grace that God has for us. Can you forgive him? Okay, I can forgive. And all of a sudden, these kids started to learn that forgiveness isn't about a feeling. Right? Forgiveness isn't about a feeling. You can't just wait till you feel like forgiving. Forgiveness is an act, and it's a decision of your will. I choose to forgive. That's right. That's right. And so the scripture was about Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, this tax collector that had essentially stolen from his own people. And the Israelite, anybody around in his community looked on him with just disdain and disrespect. And Jesus sees him up in the tree, and he calls him. He says, hey, I'm going to your house for lunch today. And Jesus bestows grace on this man. And what does he do? He in turn transfers and bestows grace on his community. Church, this is our call. This is why we spent a sermon series in it. God has given us, just poured out grace and forgiveness on us. This is our call. Once we have our identity set, our call is to move about in lives of forgiveness. Don't hold on to bitterness. Don't do it. And so the final points were that Jesus shows grace. That's the next slide there, Sam. Jesus shows grace. He showed it to Zacchaeus even though he didn't deserve it. Zacchaeus didn't do anything to earn the grace that Jesus gave him. And the reality is that we're no different than Zacchaeus. In that we've made mistakes, we've stolen from others, we've held on to things that aren't ours to hold on to, and that we need grace from Jesus because of our sin. And the last is that we have to show this grace to others. Now, day three, we'll jump on to the next one. Day three is perseverance. Now, church, what I want to say to you is I'm talking about these themes that were for our kids in this last week, but each and every single one of these is relevant for us today. And I believe beyond a shadow of a doubt that God has something for you in one of these. I believe that each one of us are not quite yet living into the fullness of these. Whether it's your identity, whether it's grace and your forgiveness, whether it's one of the three that are to come. So I want you to open your ears, and I pray, God, would you open our ears? Holy Spirit, would you come? Would you reveal where we can lean more into you? Perseverance was day three. One of our kids had that, which was fantastic. Was it Cassie that had that one? Yes. Nice one, Cassie. And so it talks about these teammates that wrestle, and one did not do any training in the year at all, in the off season. They didn't do any training. They just didn't feel like it. They thought, I'm a good enough soccer player. I'm already on the team. I'll just show up and I'll just play. And the other soccer player trained and started the season. It shows them going out to their first day of training camp. And in about 5 minutes, the one soccer player is just wasted. He's laid out on the ground. He has no energy, no strength. It's kind of like these days when I go to run. It's kind of exactly the same thing, because I'm trying to get back into it, but I haven't kept my training in that discipline. And the other soccer player just runs circles around, just runs, is able to keep going and going and going. And this is true not only in the physical life, but this is true for us in our spiritual lives. The need for us to persevere, to keep pushing, to stay true to God's truths. And the Bible sketch that's given, actually let's do the scripture first and then we'll do the Bible sketch, is James 1:12. But just speak this with me. When a person is tempted and still continues strong. Okay, hang on one second. Are you guys talking? Use your outside voice. All right? Use your soccer voice. Here we go. When a person is tempted and still continues strong, he should be happy. After he has proved his faith, God will reward him with life forever. Hey, there's a reality that we live in a sinful world. There's a reality that there is darkness around us, and that if we don't stay true to God's truth and function in the power of God's Spirit, we will be discouraged. We will fall off to the side. We must persevere. And the Bible sketch that is given is Jesus being tempted by Satan. And they go and interact, and it talks about the three various temptations, and holds on to the point that by Jesus holding on to Scripture, by Jesus holding on to God's truth, he was able to persevere through the difficult time. All that training Jesus had done was put into action and practice. Church, are you discouraged? Are you disheartened? Are you lost? Are you worn out? Persevere. Not on your own strength, but on God's strength. And so the last three points, the summary of it were these. Sound, next slide. There it is. We will all experience difficulties in life. In this world, we will have trouble. Does it stop there? Take heart. Take heart. I've got it covered. There is this line that a speaker said in the last half a year. His name is Rob Reimer. I've recommended a bunch of his books. And when he was talking, and it was over a weekend, he kept saying, God's not worried, so I don't have to be. Hey, you're going to face difficult times. You're okay. God's got you. You're going to experience difficulties. Jesus is our example of perseverance. If you're looking anywhere else to figure it out, you're going to come up shy. You're going to come up empty. You're going to have all this effort and it's not going to transfer. And the last is the reality that perseverance builds character. When we are faithful and we press in, our character is built. We become more and more like Jesus. Day four, selflessness. And that's how I would get the kids to say it. Repeat after me. Selflessness. Go ahead, try it out.
Selflessness.
Nice. Good job. You guys can come out to a soccer camp too. Selflessness. Now the sports sports example is of this soccer player who is so focused on it. It shows, they did this skit where it shows him in a game, and his name is Sweet Feet, and he's got these sweet feet, and he goes around and he does all this dribbling, and there's people that are open for him to pass to, but he doesn't pass. He just shoots and he scores one, and then he misses one, and his team actually loses, and the commentator goes, "Well, Sweet Feet, don't you think you should have actually passed the ball?" And Sweet Feet goes, "No, why? I'm the best. He doesn't deserve the ball." It's this awful, but hyper-emphasized example of putting himself first. That's what it is. Selfishness. And what I want to suggest to you is, in fact, that whenever we hold on to our false identity, we're actually putting ourselves first. And we come up shy. Whenever we don't extend grace or we don't extend forgiveness, we're actually putting ourselves first. We're saying, "God, I don't trust you. I don't think you're big enough. I'm going to figure this out myself." And it never works. We can agree on that, right? No? Just live a little longer. You'll figure it out. You'll figure it out. And so the scripture is Matthew 20, verse 28. Nice. Go ahead and read it with me. "The Son of Man did not come for other people to serve him. He came to serve others. The Son of Man came to give his life to save many people." And so the kids are hearing this truth that God came to earth as a human being, as a man, and he didn't come and tell people, "You get on the ground before me." He actually came and said, "I'm here because I love you. Because I'm actually going to make all these things right. I'm going to do this work that will give access for you to enter into the fullness of God." Wow. And it was this day that this truth somehow sunk deep into this child's life who was in my small group where I was working with these kids. And I just held it open and I said, "Hey, have any of you prayed to know Jesus?" And some of them had, and so some of them went off for their snack break, and there's this one little guy who stayed and just wanted it. He wanted to be free from the stuff he had done, and he got it. He got it here, and he got it here. And I got to pray with him, and it was beautiful. Right? And that's why we're doing this camp. But church, that's what we are called to do everywhere we are. Everywhere we are. And so the final 3 points, or 2 points on this one, was that Jesus was selfless and he modeled. What the way Jesus lived is the way that we are invited to live. How can we do that? We can only do that as we receive God's Spirit and live in the fullness of his Spirit. You can't do it on the only real part is choosing God and then living in obedience, right? And that selflessness requires sacrifice. Selflessness means that we put other people first. Selflessness means that we step aside in order for God to move in people's lives. Selflessness is what Jesus did and calls us into. And the last day, parents definitely loved this day. The theme was obedience. I used that one yesterday. Sure, I sure did. I used that one yesterday. And now the sport example was of a player who was told by his coach, you need to come off the field because you're not playing the position that I told you to. You're not doing. And the coach turns his back on the player and the player sneaks back on the field. And as a result of that, the team loses the game and there are all these consequences. That was the sports example. The scripture on this one was really beautiful, and this is probably one of the ones that connected and challenged me. Go ahead, Sam, if you want to throw that scripture up there. Now, I want you to brace yourselves. This is a bit of a long one, but you can do it, okay? Here we go. Do what God's teaching says. Do not just listen and do nothing. When you only sit and listen, you're fooling yourselves. A person who hears God's teaching and does nothing is like a man looking in a mirror. He sees his face, then goes away and quickly forgets what he looked like. That one cuts, doesn't it? If we're honest, that one goes deep. Because in our culture, we just consume and consume and consume. And we listen to all these teachings on podcasts or other sermons, or we'll come to church on a Sunday and we'll hear the truth and then we'll go out and live exactly the same life. And James is saying, man, that's just ridiculous. It's as ridiculous as somebody going to a mirror and then forgetting what they look like. Church, there's deep invitation in here into formation, into soul transformation. And it only comes as we have this identity piece in place, as we receive and extend grace. Right? As we persevere. So the biblical sketch is when Jesus is gone from the tomb, and the women find him there, and the angels tell them, go tell the disciples. And they run and tell the disciples. The disciples don't believe them. They're locked in this room, and all of a sudden Jesus walks in and has this interaction and says, look, it's me. It's really me. Look. Look at my hands. Look at my feet. And then it finishes with Jesus giving the final command, which is go into all the world and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, which is the second part of today, which I'm really excited about because we're going to hear a story and we're going to baptize somebody today. It is awesome. And it finishes with a narrator telling us that Jesus did not just leave his disciples, his people. Jesus went to the Father so that he could send the Holy Spirit. And that when we believe in Jesus, we have the Holy Spirit. And so the last three on this day were this. We need to obey Jesus' teachings. If you identify yourself as a Christian, this is paramount. This is essential that you understand. And this is how we do battle with the enemy. Okay, our battle with the enemy, which is there's a real war going on, a spiritual war where the enemy is seeking to devour and destroy us. He's seeking to divide us. And the way that we do battle is we take the teaching of Jesus, which is a call to selflessness, which is a call to grace and forgiveness, and we just press into everywhere that we are with that in mind and that in heart. Number two is that we need the Holy Spirit. I mentioned this before, that we can't rely on our own strength. We can't do it on our own. We can only do it as we are empowered by God's Spirit. And the third is that obedience requires action. It's more than just a sitting and listening. It's a we hear and we do. We hear from the place of changed identity. Not poor me, but I am a child of God. I am empowered to do anything He calls me to. And then we act. Not just hear it and then think about it and then forget it, but hear it and step into action. Now, I tell you what, church, the experience of these days, these are long days. For the coaches that are there, they're pouring themselves into these kids. And the gift of being on the other side of that, when these kids turn their hearts to Jesus, is unreal. Nothing matches it. And if you've prayed with somebody to welcome them into the kingdom, you know what I'm talking about. And if you haven't yet, God's got you here for a purpose. Right? There are a lot of people. I met a lot of people this week, people who hadn't been to soccer camp before, who have some kind of history with a church or a sort of church and estrangement because of hurt. There are a lot of people that need to experience God's grace. There are a lot of people out there who know that God is there, but haven't experienced the touch of somebody living it. We've got to be the ones who live it so that we can touch the lives around us. Right? Right. All right. I'm just going to pray. I want to pray for these kids specifically, and I want to invite you to pray with me. And as we're doing that, Paolo, I'm going to invite you to make your way up here, brother. And so, Father, we are here as your church, Lord. And we recognize that we're called to all of these things. But it's got to start from a place of identity in you. And so I pray that you would, within us, that you would take away any confusion, that you would take away any lies. And I pray, Lord, that you would transform us into a missional force here. A missional force that lives and presses into and brings your life and your hope and your truth. And so we pray for each of the kids who are at soccer camp, for those who knew you going into the week, for those who met you during the week, Lord, and for those who just had seeds planted. We pray your hand on them, Father. We pray that you would be even drawing events around so that they can press into, so that their eyes can be opened to who you are. And so we commit them to you in Jesus' name. And we just pray your blessing on them. Amen. Amen. Church, I want to say thank you. Thank you for the honor, the privilege to be in the position that I am, not only as your pastor, but also being able to engage in these missional activities. It's amazing. And I want to invite you to be praying now for next year, and even be praying about how you can get involved in next year. There's a lot of the traditional roles that we've talked about, but there's lots of other ones where we could have you praying specifically during the time of Coach's Corner every day, or where you could come and help with the cleanup at the end of the day, or where you could come and just watch and see what's going on, because God's doing something there, and it's amazing. Brother, come on over. This is my friend Paolo. Paolo, welcome. You're going to have to hold that mic right close to your mouth.
Got it.
Paolo is going to be baptized today, and we are really excited. Yeah.
Yeah.
Your love.
Absolutely.
Your love. Okay, so Paolo, I'm gonna step aside a little bit. Okay. And I'm just gonna invite you to share your story, and then I might have a couple of questions for you.
Okay, sounds good.
After. Just sounds hold that good. Right close to your mouth.
Thank you for the privilege and honor for allowing me to be here, Joel. I'm so grateful today. And I just want to start off by saying, praise Jesus. He's in my heart, and I've given my life to him. And I just want to tell you a little bit about myself and how I got to this place. It's been a long journey. I don't have that much time, so I'm going to try to be as succinct as I can. I pray for Jesus, Holy Spirit, to speak with me and speak through me and get myself out of my way. So I've had a battle with addictions most of my life. You know, my parents had 8 kids, and I didn't get the attention I needed. So in order to get attention, I went the bad road. And I started hanging out with the wrong crowd. I come from Toronto, and I started hanging around with the Italian mob. And then I started hanging around with the Spanish gangs. And I saw a lot of violence, a lot of drugs, a lot of things that really affected my soul, my mind, my heart, and broke me. By the time I was 19, I was totally broken, and Jesus came into my life. I read the Bible, and I read the gospel, and I saw a man that I didn't see anywhere before. You know, I saw a man of true love, and I bawled my eyes out, and he came into my heart, and I started studying the Bible with the Jehovah's Witnesses. And I became a witness, and my life transformed. And I started witnessing to Jehovah. And what happened during that time was I forgot about Jesus. And I lost Jesus. And I was hard-knuckling it for 11 years. I was in a lot of pain, a lot of emotional pain, and I didn't know what was wrong. And I was doing everything I could possibly think of to please God. I was doing it by works. And it wasn't working. So when I hit 30, my marriage... Oh, sorry. When I hit 30, I was married for 5 years. That broke up. I couldn't be in the church anymore because I didn't believe it to be the truth. I saw that they were stretching the scriptures, and it just wasn't fitting. And I didn't believe in Jehovah anymore. I didn't understand what evil was, and I was stuck in evil. I was stuck in sin, and I was very confused. So I went back on another drug run for 5 years, and I hit a really hard bottom again at 35. And at this point, I was so lost, I didn't know who to pray to. So I just looked up and said, I don't know who you are, what you are, I don't care. I need your help because I'm dying. And God heard me, and His Spirit entered into me. I fell on my knees. And I cried. I cried for a long time, and I came up, and I felt reborn. That obsession to do drugs was lifted from me. But I wanted to know what happened to me. What was this experience? And I went to church, and I was raised up as a Catholic, and I let that go, and I couldn't go back to Jehovah's Witnesses because they disfellowshipped me. So I just went to church and wanted to know what happened, but I wasn't getting the answers. So I started going to 12-step programs for addictions, for alcohol. And they told me to create my own higher power, my own God. So I did that. And what I didn't realize was that the higher power I was creating was actually Satan, because he was teaching me how to make this world my home, how to look for luxury, how to look for material, how to look for things of the flesh, carnal. And it wasn't until someone in that 12-step program said they were going to church, and I saw there was something different about them. They were happy, and I wanted that. And I was struggling for that. So I gave the church another shot. And I was at a crossroads, and I came here, and I sat I sat somewhere over there, and for the whole sermon, I was just bawling. Jesus came into my heart, and I was crying, and I was healing. I was just drenched in sweat. And ever since then, I just been kept coming back here because Jesus was here. His Spirit was here. It was different. And I just kept listening to the pastor, and applying what he was saying and made it a part of my life and just kept pressing into Jesus, pressing into the Bible. And he talked about Freedom Sessions, and it's a discipleship program. I went to that, and I've been in that. And in step two, it's a 12-step program, but with Jesus as your higher power. In step two, I made Jesus my higher power. He came into my heart, and then things started to really change internally for me. Like, I've been abused as a child, and I couldn't heal that wound. I couldn't find forgiveness for that abuser. And Jesus, I trusted Jesus, and he came into my heart, and he healed that. I was able to forgive, and I was able to find freedom. And I'm not a victim. I'm victorious because of Jesus. I love Jesus with all my heart, soul, and mind. Every day I pray to keep that alive in me. I pray to keep that zeal for Jesus alive in me. When I go to work, I remember that I have to be a character that reflects Jesus. And I had a really bad character, you know, because of the lifestyle that I lived. And it was really hard, and I used to try to do it on my own to change, but I can't. So I pray to Jesus to help me, and he does. He's teaching me how to forgive other people, how to be compassionate, how to be understanding, how to put myself in their shoes, how to not to be judgmental. He's teaching me so many beautiful things, and I just feel so much peace. I never had that before. Because it says in the Bible that there is no rest for the wicked. There is no peace for the wicked. And I was wicked. I was a dirty rag. And Jesus cleaned me. He's cleaning me up. You know, it's a work in progress, but I'm continually being cleansed by Jesus, looking for purity, looking for holiness. You know, and in those 12-step programs, it says we're not saints. But you know what? That's a lie. We are saints, and we can be saints. And with the Holy Spirit, we don't have to sin. We can conquer sin. I believe that with all my heart. And you know, there's a lot of sins that I was involved in since Freedom Session, since I gave my life to Jesus, I no longer do. So, beautiful. I just want to conclude with a scripture, because I wasn't going to get baptized last week. There was some things that I didn't understand, and I was afraid, and I didn't want to commit to something that might be a lie, because of what religion has done to me, has made me untrustworthy of religion. But I don't believe in religion to this day. I believe in spirituality. I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe in the Holy Spirit. But I do believe in community, because I can't do this alone. And I just want to share one scripture with you. It's in Isaiah 49, verse 15 and 16. This is what God revealed to me when I was discouraged. He said, "Can a woman forget her nursing child, that she should have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget, yet I will never forget. Behold, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me." And that just broke me. Jesus put his name on the palms of his hands. My name is on the palms of his hands, and my inheritance is eternal.
That's right. Beautiful. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Beautiful, man. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
For the privilege of journeying with you, for being part of our community. And we just celebrate what God has done, what he's doing right now, and what he is still to do.
Yeah, there's so much I can say. I can say so much, you know, on this journey, especially with Joel and the work that he's done with me. He's a great pastor. I love him. And he's my pastor. You know, I need him as my guide, because I can't do this alone. And I need you as well to support me. I need this fellowship. I need this. It's my new family, and I'm grateful for it. Thank you.
It's good. Yeah. Bless you, brother.
Thank you.
Good job.
Thank you.
So, church, we are going to be heading towards Porpoise Bay this afternoon, and we are going to share lunch together after we baptize Paolo. And so just an exciting day, where I believe God is teaching us through our children, through our children's ministry. He's teaching us through those who are turning their lives to Jesus and being changed. Amazing, right? Amazing. All right. So, Jocelyn, if I can invite you back up. We're going to sing another song. And I'm just going to invite you to stand as we prepare. So we're going to sing "Create in Me a Clean Heart." And this song is written based on a psalm that David wrote when he was in this place of deep repentance. Right? And I believe that is an essential starting place, an essential returning place for all of us. That we go back to that place where our hearts and our minds are changed. Where we're reoriented towards God.
Father, that is our prayer, that you would create in us clean hearts. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you that we live in this time now, after Jesus, where your Holy Spirit is with us. And so we say, come, Holy Spirit, come, move in this place. Bring your healing, bring your filling. Amen. So, church, we're going to move into ministry time now. I just invite you, if something has touched your heart, whether it was something that Paolo shared or if it was one of the ideas presented within the spiritual themes of the soccer camp, just invite you to make your way forward and have somebody pray for you. We'll have communion as well. Bless you, and we'll see you this afternoon right after church at Corpus Bay.